Why does God call men to the priesthood? And what does their ministry mean for the church and the world? We find a beginning of answers to these questions in the scripture lessons appointed for this Good Shepherd Sunday. In the Gospel, according to St. John, we read that the Lord Jesus said of his disciples, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish." And then what the Savior promised in the earthly Jerusalem is revealed in today's second lesson as being consummated in the heavenly Jerusalem. "I, John, had a vision of a great multitude which no one could count, from every nation, race, people, and tongue. They stood before the throne and before the Lamb, wearing white robes and holding palm branches in their hands." The white robes, of course, are the sign of holy baptism, and the palm branches are tokens of Christ's victory over death, a victory he shares with all who share with him the burden of the cross. St. John continues, "Then one of the elders said to me, 'These are the ones who have survived the time of great distress. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they stand before God's throne and worship him day and night in his temple.'" The Greek word, which is here translated elder, as in "one of the elders said to me," is presbyteros. And another way to translate that word into English is presbyter, which, because the English swallow syllables, then becomes prester, and finally pressed or priest. In other words, in the glory of heaven, it is the mission of a presbyter, of a priest, to unveil the sacred mystery of the eternal worship of the Lamb once slain who lives forever. And that is the very mission of priests here and now, to be heralds of the gospel and stewards of the sacraments, the sacred mysteries of redemption which are celebrated for the salvation of the world. All priests are sent to proclaim that those who will stand one day before the Lamb in glory must first endure the time of great distress, that is, the way of the cross, and must also wash their robes in the blood of the Lamb, that is, be baptized, and then live according to the grace of holy baptism by forsaking everything that is contrary to the gospel. And in the first reading this morning, we see Saints Paul and Barnabas fulfilling this priestly ministry at great cost to themselves. At Antioch in Pisidia, that is in modern Turkey, not Antioch in Syria, Paul and Barnabas are proclaiming the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ. And for doing this, they earn the contempt of those who will not receive the gospel. But even as their message was rejected by some, it was received with joy by others. We read that at the preaching of Paul and Barnabas, the Gentiles were delighted and glorified the word of the Lord. All who were destined for eternal life came to believe, and the word of the Lord continued to spread through the whole region. And despite the hatred of those who conspired to have Paul and Barnabas run out of town, the disciples were filled with joy and the Holy Spirit because they had been made an instrument of salvation to the ends of the earth. My friends, this is the pattern of all priestly life and ministry in the church. And for those who are called by the Lord to such service, there is no greater joy than being an instrument of salvation, even when the response to priestly witness is contempt and opposition. On this Good Shepherd Sunday, the church asks us to pray that the Lord will send more laborers to gather in the great harvest of souls destined to join the countless multitude from every nation, race, people, and tongue. those who will stand before the throne and the Lamb to worship the living God in his temple. And so we lift our voices today to the throne of grace. Lord, grant that more young men may hear and heed your summons to be priests, heralds of the gospel, and stewards of the sacred mysteries for the salvation of the world. And let not their hearts be hardened by any human weakness or fear, but instead may they be filled with joy and the Holy Spirit, so that they may be instruments of grace, leading your people to springs of life-giving water in Christ Jesus. We know, however, how easily men go astray, even those consecrated to a sacred mission. And we have seen how human corruption can bring ruin to the church, scandal to the faithful, and derision from those who reject the gospel. So it is natural that we may hesitate to encourage a young man who shows signs of being called to the priesthood, and we may wonder if the sacrifices he will have to make are too great to ask of anyone, especially one whom we love. But consider the beauty and dignity of the task to which the servants of the Lord are summoned in holy orders. The Lord Jesus entrusted to his apostles the sacred duties of teaching, sanctifying, and governing his church. And those duties have been handed on from generation to generation for 2 millennia through the apostolic succession. To proclaim and explain the word of God, to celebrate the sacred mysteries of the new and eternal covenant, and to guide and protect the flock. These are the tasks of every priest, each according to his office. And it is a great joy for any man to be called to these sacred duties, even when sacrifice will be required in the face of opposition, contempt, and derision. Now, make no mistake, we must squarely face the obstacles confronting any man who is called to the priesthood today. The church is in the midst of intellectual and moral chaos and incoherence, and the College of Bishops have largely shown themselves to be without the gift of leading us to reform. The world is riven by violence, tyranny, cultural dissolution, and unrivaled malevolence against Christianity. Christians in many places live in real danger of martyrdom, and in the theoretically free nations of the West, the dictatorship of relativism already presses hard against the church with hostile purpose, which in the years ahead will only gather and grow. Meanwhile, nihilism and neo-Gnostic fantasies fill the cultural air we breathe with cynicism and irony, which make true religion almost impossible for people who are lost in the idolatry of self-worship, including the vast army of baptized pagans who say wistfully, "I was raised Catholic." But daunting though these challenges may be, did Paul and Barnabas face anything less? Both men gave their lives in witness to Christ, as did countless thousands of other martyrs, and thus did the church grow despite persecution. Pagans became Christians by the millions, because the disciples of the Lord Jesus were filled with joy and the Holy Spirit, even in their suffering. And that is how the church grows in every age. When our families and our parishes are filled with disciples who truly understand the cost of discipleship, when we prepare our young people to make a firm decision for the Lord Jesus because they are friends of Christ, who know that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation for all who have faith, and when we are living the grace of our baptism in all its radical demands, then every Christian way of life flourishes in the church, including marriage, religious life, and the sacred priesthood. It is the mission of every priest by word and sacrament to draw back the veil between God and man, and then hide himself in the folds, thus pointing the way to eternal communion with the Lord and all his saints. And so this Good Shepherd Sunday, we remember that in St. John's vision of heaven, the great multitude cry out, "Salvation comes from our God who is seated on the throne and from the Lamb." But the multitude are able to join in this ceaseless worship of the living God only because a presbyter, a priest, has unveiled for them the mystery of divine love in Jesus Christ. And to proclaim that saving truth is why men are called and sent as priests to the ends of the earth, to reveal with their words and their lives the eternal destiny of all who are in Christ and who are called to join the angels and saints in crying out, "Amen, blessing and glory, wisdom and thanksgiving, honor, power, and might to our God forever and ever. Amen."